in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Be seated. Hallelujah. Welcome to the what? Day 8. Hallelujah. Today is day 8 of our 21 days Avalanche of Abundance Praying and Fasting Program. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We finished a powerful teaching series that was last week, Saturday, Contending for Our Inheritance in Christ, part 1-5. I will advise you to get the message and listen to it again and again and again from our Telegram channel. Yesterday we were here for Avalanche of Glory service. We enjoyed the concluding part of our prophetic service, the part 2 yesterday, which was an explosive exposition on the prophetic word for the year, our year of abundance, 2024. Please get these messages and be blessed. Hallelujah. Today we'll start another teaching series. Very important one that will bless you so much. Hallelujah. Today, we'll be starting the series Activating, Understanding and Activating the Prophetic. Hallelujah. Understanding and Activating the Prophetic. Praise God. I say praise God. 1 Corinthians 14. No, bring it closer. Put it here. See? Against here like this. Part of it. Yes. Thank you. It's okay. Hallelujah. Understanding and activating the prophetic. The aim, the objective of this teaching series is to help you understand the prophetic. Praise God. I say praise God. Is that favor? Rachel, come and sit here. Okay. Is somebody there? Okay. Beautiful. Is to make you to understand the prophetic operations, to understand the prophetic ministry, prophetic operations, and then to understand how to activate prophecies into manifestation, how to activate the prophetic into operations. And also, in the course of this teaching series, you will also get to know the difference between the genuine prophetic operations of God and the counterfeits, the fakes, divination, operation of familiar spirits, all those things that
look like a genuine prophetic operation. The demonic counterpart, hallelujah, which is nothing but a fake imitation of the genuine. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, follow after charity. Charity there is agape, love. Okay? Love. It's talking of love. Follow after charity. That's love. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Hallelujah. Give me this in New King James Version. Can I have it in New King James Version? It says, you should desire spiritual gifts. Okay, pursue love. You see, it comes out clearer. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may what? Prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. That's how important prophecy is, the prophetic. It says, of all the spiritual gifts, Apostle Paul is admonishing believers, the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is encouraging them that they should desire the gift of prophecy. Praise God. He says, especially that you may prophesy. So, the next question now, okay, let me read down before we come to that. Verse 2. We are looking at understanding and activating the prophetic. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. That's the person speaking in tongues. Glossolalia. He said, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. You know, some people are funny. They say, when you are speaking in tongues, we don't know what you are saying. But that's what the Bible just said. He said, when you are speaking in tongues, no man understands what you are saying. Praise God. Are you getting it? He said, when you are speaking, because you are not speaking the language of men. You are speaking, angels understand you perfectly. God understands you perfectly. Glory to God. It says, no man understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay, verse 3. It says, but he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and what? Exhortation and what? And comfort to men. Three important ingredients that is found in prophecy. A true prophecy, someone prophesying, he says he's speaking to men to do three things. Number one, help me. Number one, edification. Number two, exhortation. Number three, comfort. Every genuine prophecy from God must contain those elements. Praise God. Those ingredients. You know, most of the times when people hear prophecy, they think prophecy is like to point out wrongs, you know, like to point accusatory finger, you know. Anytime somebody is wrong, then you now pick the person, you know. Hallelujah. We'll come to all of that. You will enjoy this series. It will bring a lot of light to you, because there is so much confusion about the prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. You know, you will gain a lot of understanding. Praise God. It says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay, verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Hallelujah. He said, when you are speaking in tongues, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds up himself, charges himself, emboldens himself, strengthens himself. But when you are prophesying, when you prophesy, you are edifying the church. You are building up the body of Christ. You are strengthening. Are you seeing this? Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now go back to that verse 3. Go back to verse 3. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Give me this in NIV. Give me in NIV. New International Version. It says, but everyone who prophesies speak to men for what? They are strengthening. So listen. Every genuine prophecy from God is supposed to strengthen people, not to weaken them. It's supposed to encourage people, not to discourage them. I seen this. It says, speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Glory to God. These elements must be there. So, what is prophecy? What does it mean to prophesy? Right. What is prophecy? What is prophecy? I'll give you a few definitions. Number one, prophecy is a spirit-inspired utterance in a known language. A spirit-inspired utterance in a known what? Language. Praise God. Spirit-inspired utterance in a known tongue. That's an utterance inspired by the Holy Spirit. In a language you understand. Praise God. In a known language or tongue. Praise God. Number two, what is prophecy? Prophecy or let me put it this way, what does it mean to prophesy? To prophesy, is to speak, is to speak forth under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is to speak forth words, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Is to speak forth words. Let me add to this. Words inundated with divine omnipotence. To speak forth words pregnant with divine potency. Let me just use divine potency. Okay? Potency. Praise God. I want you to understand this very well. When we say somebody prophesy, to prophesy means to speak forth words inundated or loaded with divine potency. That's, those words are words of power. They are charged, loaded with the power of God. words impregnated with divine potency, and you are speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? You came under a divine influence and started speaking words loaded with God's power, words inundated, pregnant with divine omnipotence. Number three, what does it mean to prophesy? To prophesy means to utter or declare, to utter or declare words of power. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it means to utter or declare words of power under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, bringing about those three things. Give me the King James Version, New King James. Edification, bringing about edification, exhortation and comfort to people, and comfort to people or to men. Praise God. I think these three definitions, they are comprehensive enough. Okay, so the third definition, to prophesy means to utter or declare words of power, to speak, utter, declare words of power under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, bringing about edification, exhortation and comfort to people or to men. Praise God. Is it clear enough? So you now understand what prophecy means. Praise God. You now understand what it means to prophesy. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, the first definition I gave is that, what is prophecy? Prophecy is a spirit-inspired utterance. The spirit here is the Holy Spirit, okay? Not demonic spirit, not your own human spirit. Okay, in the course of this teaching, you understand that people can prophesy by the help of either the Holy Spirit or demonic spirit, okay? People can also prophesy from their own heart, that's from their human spirit. But a true prophecy that is of God, a genuine prophecy, does not come from the human spirit or your heart. Neither does it come from demonic spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit put those words in your heart. You declare them out. Okay, it's a spirit-inspired utterance in a known language, okay? I will say to prophesy means to speak forth words inundated with divine potency or omnipotence under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The third definition will say to prophesy means to utter or declare words of power under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, bringing about edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. Praise God. I say praise God. Are you learning something? Now, let's move on. After defining what prophecy means, the next one, let's look at five levels of prophetic operation. Five levels. Can somebody help me with the board? Protocol? Just help me with the board. Five levels of prophetic, just clean it. Five levels of prophetic operation. Number one, the gift of prophecy. The first level of prophetic operation is what we call the gift of what? prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Give me, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Okay. Verse 7. Let me pick it in context. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Okay, next. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit what? Words of wisdom. Now Apostle Paul started itemizing what we popularly call spiritual gifts. Okay? He started listing them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Next. He said to another faith. That is the gift of faith. Next. To another working of miracle. To another prophecy. Glory to God. So this is the first level of prophetic operation. Okay? We are looking at five levels of prophetic operation. After this series, you will never be confused again about the prophetic. The first one is what? Five levels of prophetic operation. First one, the gift of prophecy. Okay? The gift of prophecy. So, it's the Holy Spirit that manifests this gift through human vessels. Am I communicating? The gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the first level. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, give me that 1 Corinthians 14 that we read earlier. It's referring to the gift of prophecy too there. 1 Corinthians 14. Watch this. It says, but he that what? He that what? He that prophesies. No, verse 1. Give me verse 1. Give me verse 1. Follow after. Pursue, okay, love. Follow after charity, love, and desire spiritual gift, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, this is Paul writing to believers. Now, when he is talking about them desiring spiritual gift, Paul said, I prefer that you convert this one first. Am I communicating? That ye may prophesy. And he's talking of desiring spiritual gift. And he brought out the gift of prophecy. That's to tell you how important it is. Am I communicating? Because when I speak in tongues, I edify only myself. But when I prophesy, I edify the whole church. The church and me, which one is bigger? Are you seeing this? So, the gift of prophecy is what Paul is referring here. Is what he is talking about here. Next verse. Verse 3. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men three things: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, this is talking about the gift of prophecy specifically. Am I communicating? When the gift of prophecy is operating, those three things is what the person is speaking to do. Is speaking to bring about what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort to people, to men, to the body of Christ. Am I communicating? It's referring to the operation of the gift of prophecy. Who may prophesy? All believers can prophesy. All Christians. You don't need to be a prophet. Every believer can function with this gift of prophecy. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. Every believer can desire the gift of prophecy and operate with the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Shaka basufrahadia. Elege brandos kapatia. Are you getting blessed? Acts chapter 2 verse 17. All believers can function with the gift of prophecy. All. You don't need to be a prophet before you can function with the gift of prophecy. It's a spiritual gift. It's different from the it's not the same as the office of a prophet. We'll come to that. Am I communicating? If everybody in AGMI can prophesy, all Christians, all you need to do is to desire that gift. That's what Paul is saying. You can desire it and function in it. And let me say another one again. The fact that you are functioning with the gift of prophecy does not necessarily make you a prophet or a prophetess. Because everybody can function with that gift. But not everybody is called into the office of a prophet. One is an office. The other one is a spiritual gift. Which one is the office? The office of a prophet. One of the fivefold ministry gifts. But the gift of prophecy is a spiritual gift that every believer can desire and function it. But not everybody, you cannot step into the office of a prophet through desire. It will not work. It's by election of grace. If God have not called you to that office, there is no amount of desire that can put you there. Are you getting the point? So, all believers can prophesy, as in they can function with the gift of prophecy. But the fact that you are functioning with the gift of prophecy does not mean you are a prophet. Is it clear? Acts chapter 2:17. It says, "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy." Glory to God. It says, "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see what? Visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." You can see the outpouring of the Spirit results in people prophesying, as in they are functioning with the gift of prophecy. Am I communicating? So people can receive impartation of the gift of prophecy. Am I communicating? Through the outpouring of the Spirit. Even in AGMI, you have seen it. Glory to God. The outpouring of the Spirit can release impartation of the gift of prophecy upon people. And then people can prophesy. Glory to God. Acts chapter 19 verse 6. You will see how Apostle Paul at Ephesus, those believers, 12 men that got born again, after he ministered to them, the Bible says he prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they received an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Okay, they received the Holy Ghost when he laid hands on them. And what was the instant manifestation on the outside? When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and word prophesied. Now, this is talking of the operation of the gift of prophecy. When Paul laid his hand on them, there was an impartation. Okay, both tongues and then prophecy. Specifically, the gift of prophecy. It doesn't mean they were prophets. Am I communicating? This is the gift of prophecy in operation here. That's why I say all believers can function here. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In Acts chapter 21 verse 8 and 9, the Bible talked about Philip the evangelist. He started his kingdom service as a deacon. He was among the seven deacons in Acts 6, choosing to serve tables. Okay? And then, when he was faithful, he grew, God promoted him, and placed him in the office of an evangelist. Praise God. That's why kingdom service is so important. It doesn't matter your calling. Anywhere God have put you in church, serve there. When you serve faithfully, God will move you to your calling. But the problem is some people are not faithful. Okay? Philip, by divine destiny, God called him to be an evangelist. But did you notice he didn't even start as an evangelist? How did he start his journey of kingdom service? As a deacon serving food in a welfare department. Some people are too big to serve. If you are too big to serve, you are too small for God to use. Am I communicating? Now, we were told that Philip had daughters who were virgins and they prophesied. Okay, he said the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, those seven deacons, and abode with him. In other words, they stayed in his house. Verse 9, watch this. And the same man had how many daughters? Four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now watch this. The four daughters of Philip, the evangelist, were operating with the gift of prophecy. This is not the office of a prophet. Are you seeing this? They were not prophetesses. They were not called to that office, but they were functioning with the gift of prophecy. So they prophesied. Am I communicating? Is it clear? That's the first dimension. First level of prophetic operation. The second one is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. Praise God. Revelation chapter 12:19 verse 10. Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy is a second level of operation in the prophetic. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. You see that expression. Now give me 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 5. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 5. Mali gobo rabagada gabragadai. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistine, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Next verse. So he met this company of prophets playing musical instrument, and they were prophesying. He said, and the spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. Did you see? The spirit, you see, is talking of a unique dimension of the Holy Spirit coming upon who? Saul, son of Kish. He says, when you meet that prophetic company, there will be an impartation of the spirit of prophecy upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Am I communicating? You see, sometimes when you come under a prophetic atmosphere, when you join yourself to a prophetic company, the spirit of prophecy may come upon you, and that prophetic unction, the prophetic anointing can rest on you, and then you start prophesying. Am I communicating? Say, the spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into what? Another man. Are you learning something? 1 Samuel 19:18. Praise God. The first dimension of the operation of the first level of the operation of the prophetic is the gift of prophecy. The second level is the spirit of what? prophecy. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. David was running from Saul, jealous Saul, possessed by an evil spirit. Envy, jealousy, he wanted to kill David. Bible says he eyed David from that day. Praise God. You know, and then he was now nursing murderous thoughts towards David. David ran away and came to Prophet Samuel in Ramah. Okay? And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. Next verse. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Next verse. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets, what happened? They saw the company of prophets prophesying, Samuel standing as appointed over them. It is said that it was Prophet Samuel that started what is popularly called the school of the prophets. School of the prophets. We later heard Elijah too had students in the school of the prophets. Okay, people that are called into the prophetic ministry. The school of the prophet is like a platform for training, mentorship, training, and equipping them and all of that. Am I communicating? As you can see, there was a school of the prophet in Ramah, and the appointed leader was Prophet Samuel. Am I communicating? They saw the company of the prophets prophesying, Samuel standing as appointed over them. The Spirit of God was upon the messengers. Did you see this? The messengers King Saul sent to come and arrest David, to capture him. When they came to Ramah, atmospheres have prophetic implication. The prophets, those, all the students in the school of the prophet were prophesying, and Samuel was prophesying, appointed as their leader. The Bible says the spirit of prophecy came upon those messengers, and they also prophesied. There was an impartation of the spirit. That prophetic unction landed on their head. Next verse. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise again. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. What was happening to them? What was happening to them? When they came into that prophetic company, the spirit of prophecy came on them. Am I communicating? Next verse. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Seku. That's Saul went himself. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. Verse 23. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. Which dimension of the Spirit of God? The Spirit of prophecy. And he, that's King Saul, went on and prophesied. This is somebody that came to kill David. He said he prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. The moment he stepped into the radius, he started prophesying. Next verse. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say he saw also among the prophets. He prophesied throughout till the following day. Somebody say spirit of prophecy. In Numbers 11, can you remember when Moses, okay, appointed those 70 elders as leaders to help him with the work of judging the people? Remember what God told him, that he should bring them before the tabernacle, and it shall come to pass, God said, I will come down and speak with you, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put it on them. When that happened, did you know what happened? The Bible says they prophesied and they ceased not. Give me Numbers 11 verse verse 24. Numbers 11, 24. They prophesied and ceased not. That's the spirit of what? Prophecy. Hallelujah. Is somebody enjoying this? Really want you to understand the prophetic. Because there is so much confusion about the prophetic, to the point that there is a lot of controversies here and there. Glory to God. Some people find it hard to even know who is a genuine, which one is genuine prophecy, which one is fake, who is a genuine prophet, which one is a fake prophet, etc. Numbers 11:24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the spirit rested upon them, what happened? They prophesied, and they did not cease. Somebody say the spirit of prophecy. There was an impartation of the spirit of prophecy upon them. Glory to God. I say glory to God. What's the first level of prophetic operation? The second. First is gift of prophecy. Number two, spirit of prophecy. Number three, right? The prophetic grace. The third level is the prophetic grace. Praise God. The prophetic grace. Give me Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We'll read to verse 6. Romans 12, verse 3. The prophetic grace is the third level. Is it for I say through the grace? So Paul is talking about grace here. Given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Next verse. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6. He said, having then, watch this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So he's trying to explain something here, that the gifts at work, both natural and spiritual gift at work in your life, is according to the grace that God has given you. Are you seeing this? And then he went on, he said, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Are you seeing this? So, Apostle Paul here is talking about a particular level of prophetic operation. He's talking about functioning with the prophetic grace. Is that prophetic grace that is responsible for the operation of the gift of prophecy? Can you see something there? He says, is that prophetic grace that is empowering you to prophesy? That prophetic grace is what gives you the ability to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Are you seeing this? So, the grace gives the ability and the gift. Are you seeing this? So this one, prophetic grace, is on a higher level than even the gift of prophecy. Are you watching something here? It says, having then give differing according to the grace. So you function in the gift according to the prophetic grace. You function with the prophetic gift. It is the grace that gives you the ability. It is the grace that gives you the gifting. Am I communicating? Okay. 1 Peter 4:10. Give me 1 Peter 4:10. He said, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. So you see that the grace is responsible for the gift. Move on, 11. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles or mouthpiece of God. Okay? The oracle, the mouthpiece of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And grace is divine ability, divine enablement, divine empowerment. Okay? He said that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be what? Praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then the fourth level is the office of a prophet. The office of a prophet. The office of a prophet. This is the highest of all these mentioned so far. The office of a prophet is higher than the gift of prophecy, is higher than the spirit of prophecy, is higher than functioning with the prophetic grace. Am I communicating? I arrange them in ascending order. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, a prophet can function with the first three. But the fact that somebody is functioning with the first three does not automatically make the person a prophet. Did you hear what I just said? A prophet has the prophetic grace that comes with the office of a prophet. The spirit of prophecy functions through a prophet. A prophet functions with the gift of prophecy. But the fact that somebody functions with the gift of prophecy does not make the person a prophet. Because the gift is not necessarily equal to a calling. Am I communicating? But when you have the calling of a prophet, you function in those first three dimensions. Are you seeing this? Jeremiah 1:5. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is God speaking to prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I have what? Sanctified thee. And I have what? Ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You cannot call yourself into any office. It is an election of grace. It is God that decides your calling. Am I communicating? Your own job is to discover it by revelation and align with it. There are those God have called to be prophets. They are called to that office by the election of grace. Just like Jeremiah, God said, before I formed thee. See, the calling to the office of a prophet is not their decision. It's not because they desired it to be so. Neither is it because they decided to be prophets. But it was an election of grace by divine ordination. God had appointed them. He has chosen them. He has ordained them to be prophets. Are you getting my point? I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nation. Praise God. You need to really understand this very well. Not everyone that prophesies is a prophet. Just like I've explained. When you function with the gift of prophecy, you can prophesy. Spirit of prophecy, you can prophesy. Prophetic grace, you can also prophesy. But it does not mean you are called to the office of a prophet. Are you getting the point? But once you are in the office, you can function in the above tree. Praise God. Because there are many young men of God these days, and many young women of God, that they have branded themselves prophets just because they are functioning in one of the first three. Are you seeing this? Okay? So make no mistake about it. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he gave some, he's talking of the fivefold ministry gift of Jesus to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some what? Evangelists, some what? Pastors, and some teachers. You can see that the office of a prophet is one of the fivefold ministry gift to the church. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. He's an oracle of God. A spokesman for God. He's a spokesman for God. Is a mouthpiece, just like this microphone. A prophet is a divine microphone. Is a divine, just like this. What is this microphone doing? Amplifying my voice, right? It's saying the same thing that I'm saying. The mic is not saying a different thing. It's only amplifying what I'm saying. That is how a prophet hears from God and vocalizes what he hears. He sees from God and he declares what he sees. Are you seeing this? It's a divine microphone. Is a spokesman for God. Is a mouthpiece for God. Are you seeing this? And part of their ministry, just like the fivefold ministry gift, is what? Verse 12. All they do, all they say, is for the perfecting of the saints. So the ministry of a prophet, in summary, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So you equip the body, you edify the body of Christ. Next verse. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you learning something here? The Bible talked about Prophet Agabus, but before we go there, give me 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. It says, and God had set some in the church. God has set some in the church. He's talking of the local church setting. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. That's workers of miracles. Okay? Then gifts of healings. Okay, actually the miracles and the gifts is talking of the office of an evangelist. As you can see, they mention apostle, prophet, then teachers. That miracles and gift of healings is talking of the office of an evangelist, because those gifts, they function there a lot. Then helps, governments. Helps is more of help, and government is more pastoral office of a pastor. Am I communicating? Then diverse kinds of tongues. Hallelujah. So here is not referring, when he say prophets, is referring to the office of a prophet. Then give me 1 Corinthians 14:29. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Glory to God. He said, let the prophets speak two or three, let the other judge. Okay, so this is in a local church setting. Okay, and let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. Next verse. He say, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. Next verse. So in other words, the prophetic ministry is encouraged within the local church, okay? But let Apostle Paul say, let everything be done decently and in order, okay? He said, for ye may all prophesy one by one. Can you see that? That all may learn and all may be comforted. Paul is not against, if you study 1 Corinthians 14 very well in context, two things Paul was trying to address there: tongues and then prophecy. is not writing to discourage it. Rather, is writing to bring order, so that there will be no confusion. He said, God is not the author of confusion. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay? He's writing to bring understanding to those operations and to ensure everything is done orderly. Glory to God. He said, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Verse 32. It says, and the spirits of the prophets are what? Subjects to the prophets. Glory to God. He's talking of submission to authority also. Hallelujah. For instance, just imagine Pastor Nenkub is preaching and a prophet is in service, or somebody that has a prophetic word. See, the thing is so strong, the burden is strong, he just came and collect mic from Pastor Nenku. He said, sit down, I must prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. No. Hallelujah. When God gives you a prophetic word, just write it down. Write it and then pass it on. Okay? Or you may tell one of the leaders in the church. Now, after telling them, if they give you the permission, if the senior pastor give you permission to come and say that word, beautiful. Okay, can you see the order? Can you see the orderliness? Okay? But if they don't give you the permission, he may tell you, okay, just write it down or tell me what God told you. Beautiful. But the problem with some people is pride. It's pride. That's one of the problems. Okay. Or maybe ignorance. Especially those that are just coming up in the prophetic. You know, you see a lot of drama and all of that. Okay. But when maturity comes, you learn to follow the constituted authority in the church that God have set. You don't break ranks. Praise God. You don't break ranks for any reason. He said the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You won't tell me that it was the Holy Ghost that told you to come and drag, collect mic from Pastor Nenku. Are you getting me? Will the Holy Ghost tell you that? No, he won't. He's not the author of confusion. Is he not the one that put Pastor Nenku to preach? And is the one inspiring him. He will now tell another person, come and collect the mic. God does not function like that. Okay. God is a very orderly God. Okay. So Paul is not discouraging prophecy. Rather, he's saying that let things be done in order. Praise God. Move. Let's move. Acts chapter 11 verse 22. Acts chapter 11 verse 22. It said, the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they stood in the office of what? Prophets. They were prophets before God sent them on a missionary journey, before they were separated to the apostolic office. Am I communicating? They were prophets. Next verse, let's move on. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them. That takes me to something else. Exhortation, as in preaching. He preached to them. Now, there are two major primary responsibility of a prophet. Two primary responsibility of a prophet. Number one. Okay, let me put it this way. Prayers plus intercession. Prayers plus intercession. Number two, preaching and teaching God's word. These are the two primary responsibilities of a prophet. Anyone called to the office of a prophet. These are the two what? primary responsibility. Now, secondary responsibility is what? Prophesying. Giving prophecy. Whether corporate or what? One-on-one, personal prophecy. Or national prophecy. Or giving prophetic warning. That's under secondary. The primary responsibility of a prophet, number one is what? Intimacy with God. Communion with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Communion. Fellowship with God. Spending time with God. Prayers. Prayers is the womb that births the prophetic. Oh, look at that. Okay, let's finish this reading. Is it when Silas came, he exhorted, Barnabas, he exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they will cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24. Next verse, please. For he was a good man, that's Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Did you notice that? He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. That's character. Good man, character. Full of the Holy Ghost, charisma. Full of faith, conviction. He had character, charisma, conviction. Much people were added unto the Lord as a result. Next verse. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. Next. And when he had found Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass, a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Can you see the teaching ministry of a prophet there again? Initially, Barnabas exhorted them. That an exhortation is preaching. Here, we were told that Paul and Barnabas, they taught the people. That's teaching ministry. They taught much people. And the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. Next. Kelobosha. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Next verse. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. Prophet Agabus. And signified by the Spirit that there should be what? Great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Look up. The revelation gifts, they function a lot in the office of a prophet. What are the revelation gifts of the Spirit? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirit. These are the revelation gifts. They are gifts that reveal. They show something. Abi? They reveal something. Okay? Whether concerning individual, or concerning a people, or concerning a place, in the future, in the present, and in the past. Revelation gifts. They function a lot. In the office of a prophet. When somebody is a prophet, it flows a lot in those revelation gifts. Am I communicating? In addition to the gift of prophecy, it functions a lot. Most of the times, the gift of prophecy operates pari passu together with those revelation gifts of the Spirit. Most of the time, what people call prophecy is actually a revelation gift in operation. Are you listening? What many people call prophecy. I just explained what prophecy is. Okay? It's different from the operation of those revelation gift of the Spirit. You must know the difference. What is the gift of word of knowledge? It's a supernatural revelation. Supernatural revelation of events, details concerning individuals or a group of people or a place in the past or in the present. Supernatural, the person know supernatural knowledge. They know things supernaturally in the past or in the present. Are you listening? That's word of knowledge. How did Moses write the first five book of the Bible? Was Moses there when God created the world? How come he wrote in Genesis? The creation. Moses wrote things that happened before he was born. Eh? How did he know? Somebody said the word of knowledge. It was the operation, because Moses was a prophet. It was the operation of the word of knowledge. Details concerning the past. Then word of wisdom has to do with the future. That's the difference between word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is actually predictory of the future. Future prediction. Supernatural insight, information, details concerning an individual or a group of persons or a place in the future. Not in the past. In the future. Are you seeing this? For instance, somebody just look at you. Maybe a prophet look at you and say, wow. He say, I see you working with NNPC. I see you traveling abroad. I see you becoming one of the managing director of NNPC. Now, which gift of the Spirit is he operating with that God is using to show him things, details about your future? Is the word of what? Wisdom. It's not just the gift of prophecy, it's word of wisdom. There is a revelation gift here. That's why I say what most of us call prophecy is actually the operation of revelation gifts. Because the operation of the gift of prophecy, you are speaking under a divine unction, words of power, to do three things. Edification. Help me. Exhortation, edification, and comfort. As you can see, it doesn't reveal anything. That's the gift of prophecy. Now, once there is any revelation, whether it is past, present, or future, you should know that revelation gifts of the Spirit are in operation together with the gift of prophecy. Praise God. I say praise God. So Agabus was a prophet. He prophesied alongside with the operation of the word of what? Wisdom. That there should be great death. That's famine, hunger, drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. As you can see, the prophecy he gave came to pass. Hallelujah. That word of knowledge happened. Sorry, that word of wisdom came to pass. Next verse. 29. Then the disciple, every man according to their ability, determined to send relief material to the brethren which dwell in Judea. So during that period of drought, famine, they took an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem, as you will later see. Verse 30. Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Glory to God. So those relief materials were sent to the believers that were being affected by the famine, the drought, through Barnabas and Saul. Give me Acts 13:1. Praise God. Acts 13:1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain what? Prophets and teachers. Did you notice that? Prophets and teachers in the church. And look at them. As Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger. Okay, Niger means black. Nigger. Lucius of Cyrene, Manane, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Did you notice that? Barnabas and Saul were listed among the prophets and teachers. Did you notice that? Okay? Next verse. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them." Next verse. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and then they sent them away. This was when Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas started their missionary journey. Their apostolic ministry began. They've been functioning in the office of a prophet and teacher. It was in this service, am I communicating? God separated them into the apostolic ministry. I always say the apostolic ministry is the only ministry among the fivefold ministry that you never start out as an apostle. You grow into the office. Even if you have an apostolic calling, you may start as a teacher, you may start as a pastor, you may start as an evangelist, you may start in any of the other four offices or as a prophet, but you will never start out as an apostle. And when you faithfully discharge your duty, then later God separates you into the apostolic office. But today you see young men. They're laughing. Am I lying? Somebody that is just starting ministry, putting capital letter, apostle, XYZ. You see confusion, ba? And most of those guys are very proud. Pride is partly responsible for things like that. Some of them are very angry if you don't call them by their title. See, anybody you see that is too title conscious, that is even red flag. It's even put a question mark on the person. The title you bear does not matter. What is more important is what? The function. The grace that, see, you cannot fake any office. If you are not called into an office and you are calling yourself that title, it will show, the results will show that you are not called to that office. Am I communicating? It will show. Because when God calls you into an office, He equips you with the grace. There is a supernatural equipping. The grace, the anointing, the giftings, everything to enable you to effectively and efficiently function in that office. If somebody calls himself a prophet, but you cannot see the results, you can't see the grace at work, don't believe the person. If somebody calls himself an apostle and you are not seeing the apostolic grace, don't believe the person. Am I communicating? There is a supernatural equipping that comes with the calling. So, be more interested in the function than even the title the person calls himself. Are you seeing me? Are you seeing me? Are you getting me? Okay, if a tree calls himself, "I am mango tree," but the fruit the tree is bearing is cashew, but the label on the tree is that "I am mango," which one will you believe? By their fruit, you will know them. So be on the lookout for the results. Praise God. Nobody ever starts out as an apostle that is truly called to the office of an apostle. Even Paul and Barnabas, they were prophets and what? Teachers. After like 13 years, God then separated them in this encounter to function as apostles. They started their apostolic ministry. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you learning anything? Acts chapter. Give me that Acts 15:32. And Judas and Silas, watch this, being what? Prophets. Judas and Silas are prophets. Next verse. Being prophets. Let me read it out. Glory to God. They were prophets. And I say prophet, as a prophet, your two primary responsibility, your two primary assignment, your true primary calling is what? Number one, you do what? Prayers and intercession. Number two, preaching and teaching. But do you know the problem today? When the average Christian hear that somebody is a prophet, the next thing, they want the person to prophesy to them. Am I lying? Including some of you looking at me like the Oju Kokoro. That's why I'm teaching you. See, giving people prophecy, calling name and phone number, that's not the primary responsibility of a prophet. That one is under secondary. Are you getting me? There are so many people that they call themselves prophet, but they cannot teach and preach God's word though. Some of them say they don't read Bible in their meeting. They just come up, can I prophesy? Yes. So they will prophesy from morning till people are tired. The people are not built. See, let me tell you something. If you function like that, even if you are genuine, listen, your congregation will remain babies. They will never grow spiritually. You and babies will give you so much problem. That's why some of those people in their meetings, people fight for seat. As in, people fight, they remove clothes to fight. Yeah. I sit where I won't sit down so that Papa go see me prophesy. Now you won't come claim. I'm telling you, they will remove suit to fight. Why? Because they are babies. They are not growing spiritually. Why? Because they are not well taught God's word. Every meeting is only prophecy they give. Am I communicating? Say, Papa, see for me. They will get house girl. Some people will get house help. They will bring the house girl. I say, Papa, I bring this one from village. I beg, check him. Prophetic checkup. Whether she get demon, whether she need deliverance. May no come, bring demon, come my house. Check. Some say, they are in a relationship. They will bring the guy. I say, Papa, check. Is it the will of God? Is it not the will of God? Are you getting me? Don't worry. Tomorrow we will go deeper. Because you must understand the prophetic in this series. Am I communicating? These are the two cardinal responsibilities of any genuine true prophet in the New Testament. Number one, you are called unto intimacy with God. You stand in the council. That is even where you hear from God. The prophecy that you say you want to prophesy later is in the place of intimacy. God speaks to you. The mind of God is revealed to you. Am I communicating? The burdens of God is downloaded to your spirit. Your eyes are open to the visions of God. You receive revelations from God. Am I communicating? You intercede for the people. A prophet has a priestly ministry of intercession. A prophet is a watchman over territory. Praise God. You intercede for the church. You intercede for families. You intercede for territories. To bed God's will, to enforce God's will, God's plan, God's purposes, to thwart the plan of the enemy. That's why the Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. Why is he revealing it? So that they will, what? Partner with him in prayer, in intercession, in order to enforce his will, plans and purpose. And if Satan is planning anything evil, God reveals it to the prophet. in order to stop it. Are you seeing this? By the power of intercession. A prophet stands in the gap as an intercessor. And if you are a good intercessor, if you are really serious with intercession, you will see a lot and you will hear a lot from God. God will show you things. Praise God. God will show you things. Let me finish my reading. I will show you another scripture. He said, Judas and Silas are prophets. Go back to verse 32. He said, Judas, Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the people. That exhortation is preaching. They preached to the brethren with many words and confirmed them, established them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Next verse. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Next verse. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Next verse. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. What were they doing? Remember, Paul and Barnabas were also prophets. Okay? They were what? Teaching. Somebody say teaching. And preaching the words of the Lord with many others also. Give me Genesis 20 verse 7. The first time, watch this. Now, therefore, restore to the man his wife. The first time the word prophet appeared in the whole Bible is in this Genesis 20 verse 7. For he is a Nabi. Nabi. The Hebrew word there is Nabi. Don't miss tomorrow. I'm going to teach you various streams of prophetic operation. There are different kinds of prophets. Okay? Various streams of prophetic operation. This is one of them. Nabi. Bubble forth. Prophetic words bubble in their spirit. Unction from within. They vocalize it with power. As in, it's like a flowing forth. You understand? You know the way water flows. That is how prophetic words. Those God reveals it to them. The thing flows out. It bubbles out of them. Okay? This is one of the streams of the prophetic. He said he is a prophet. This stream is different from the seer. The seer, he sees. Okay? He sees into the realm of the spirit. Visions, dreams, revelation. That's another stream of the prophetic. But this is Nabi. Okay? He says he is a prophet. You know, it's from this Nabi that the people of the other religion are Nabi. The Muslim are Nabi. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Anabi. Have you not heard that word? Pastor Sam, come and sit down on your seat. Our latest pastor, celebrate him. Have you heard of Anabi? Is that not how the Muslim call it? Sit down. It's from this Nabi, oh. From this Hebrew word, Nabi. So, God told Abimelech, restore Sarah, Abraham's wife, to her. He said, and Abraham will pray for you, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. The first time the word prophet appeared in the Bible, it was in connection to what? Intercessory prayer. He shall pray for thee. Intercession. That means a prophet is first and foremost an intercessor. His primary assignment is prayer and intercession. His primary assignment is not going to prophesy to people. Is what? Number one assignment, prayer and intercession. That's why any prophet you see functioning in the prophet, any prophetic ministry, and you cannot trace it to a life of prayer and intimacy with God. The person is not a person of prayer. The person doesn't preach and teach God's word. Run. That one is not using the Spirit of God to prophesy. Run away. by tomorrow we'll delve more, because there's what we call divination, there is fortune telling. These are things that look like prophecy from God. These are counterfeits of the prophetic ministry. You must know how to discern between them. Am I communicating? Then I round up with a fifth. Before then, give me Jeremiah 23 verse 21. Jeremiah 23:21. This is God speaking. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Can you see? Follow me carefully. 22. He said, but if they had stood in my counsel, are you seeing this? If only they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Hallelujah. Did you see what God was saying there? That they should have stood. God said they should have stood in my counsel, as in they should have spent time with me to receive counsel from me, in intimacy with God, in fellowship. Am I communicating? In prayers. He says they should have stood in my counsel, because that is where you hear from God. You see the visions of God. You receive divine revelation. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Look at verse 25. Shabala kasaya. Brondo sofrahadila gabrakadia. Kepura bakasa. Can you see something there? Can you see something there? He said, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed and I have dreamed. Next verse. He said, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. In other words, they are prophesying what their heart is telling them. I told you, you can prophesy from your spirit, your heart, but it doesn't make it equal to prophesying by the Spirit of God. You can prophesy through these three channels. Number one, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you come under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Number two, you can prophesy by demonic spirit, not you. Somebody can prophesy by demonic spirit. Okay? Remember that slave girl in Acts 16, she was prophesying by the spirit of divination, Python spirit. See, she said, these are the holy men of God, Paul and his company. They have come to show us what? The way of salvation. But was it the Holy Spirit that was revealing those things? No, it was demonic spirit. Then number three, people can prophesy from their heart, their own heart desire. Okay? The deceit of their own heart. Glory to God. Only one is correct. That's when you prophesy by the Holy Spirit. The other two are wrong. You see, these are prophets of deceit. They are prophesying lies, God said, in my name. They are prophesying of the deceit of their own heart. That's why you must learn. By tomorrow, I will teach you how to discern, judge, how to judge prophecies. Okay? Because the Bible says prophecies should be judged. Okay? You will learn how to judge prophecies, to differentiate true prophecies from God and false ones. Am I communicating? Because the Bible says we should not despise prophecies, but it says prove all things, then hold fast to that which is good. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19 down, it says, despise not prophesying. Okay? Number two, it says prove all things, as in you should test it, try it, judge it, then you now hold fast to that which is good. Am I communicating? So you have to be discerning. You have to be very discerning. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The last level of prophetic operation. What was the first? Gift of prophecy, number 2. Number 3, prophetic grace. Number 4, number 5, the prophecy of scripture. This is their chairman, the prophecy of scripture. You know, I said I arranged them in ascending order, right? The prophecy of scriptures is the ultimate of all of them. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter 1 verse 19, the prophecy of scriptures. I round up with this. The prophecy of scriptures. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. The scriptures, the word of God, is a more sure word of prophecy. It is surer than thus saith the Lord by any prophet or by any man of God. That's why even when God gives us a prophetic word, we must get scriptural backing for it. Are you getting my point? It must always be in line with scriptures. Any prophecy that does not align with scripture, discard it, trash it into trash can. The Holy Spirit is the one that wrote this one. The Bible is a book of prophecy. The Bible calls it prophecy of scripture. Any other prophecy must conform to it, must align to it, must be in harmony with the scriptures. That's why when you meet genuine prophets, even when they give prophecy, you will see they will give you Bible verse to back it. Am I communicating? Because it must align with scriptures. Glory to God. He said, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Verse 20. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of what? Help me. Scripture. This is the highest level of prophecy. Watch this. Prophets can miss it. Even genuine prophets can make mistakes. They can miss it. Am I communicating? But the Bible cannot be wrong. A prophet can be wrong. The Bible can never be wrong. Are you seeing this? When water passes through a pipe from the tap, let's say from a tap, you connect a pipe to your kitchen. Do you notice that the water you get inside the kitchen can be affected by the condition of the pipe? True or false? If the pipe is rusted, what will happen to the water? Now notice, even though the water was pure from the source, but because it passed through the channel, the pipe, what you are getting on this end is affected by the condition of the pipe. It's the same thing. The prophet is like a conduit pipe. That's why a prophet must correctly position himself and consecrate himself to be a very good conductor of whatever God is telling them, or else their prophecy can be colored by their mindset, colored by their understanding, colored by so many things. So, what they may hear is genuine, but what they are giving is affected by their own condition. And this is the case many times. You can see a genuine vision, but you will give it interpretation based on your understanding and perception, and then therefore you are wrong. You are wrong not because you saw a wrong vision. You are wrong because you wrongly what? Interpreted it based on your understanding and your perception. Are you seeing this? So you must be a good channel. That's why run away from all these prophets. You see them living anyhow, sleeping around with women, all of that. Even if they are genuinely called of God, whatever they are getting will be polluted by those things, impurities. Are you getting me? It will be polluted. That's why when you are called to the office of a prophet, your character, integrity, it matters a lot. If I don't believe any prophet until I've studied your character very well. Because and then of course you must your level of understanding of God's word and some other things too is very important. Because whatever you are receiving, even if you are genuine, will be colored and affected by these things. You may end up becoming a good channel or a bad channel. Am I communicating? Knowing this first, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Next verse. He said, for the prophecy, which prophecy? Prophecy of what? Scripture. Came not in old time by the will of man, but, watch this, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why I said the Bible is a prophetic book. The scriptures are prophetic. Stop running from pillar to post looking for prophecy. Locate the prophecy of scripture. Are you getting my point? This one cannot be wrong. It is infallible. It is based on this that we judge all other prophecies. Am I communicating? That's why I say the prophecy of scripture is the ultimate. Glory to God. How were the scriptures written? Is a holy man. They came under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. As you are writing with your pen, those things you are writing, is it your pen that is writing it or is you? When they ask, okay, now, this is what Pastor Mafeng wrote. They ask, who wrote this? Will you say it is the pen Pastor Mafeng is using or is Pastor Mafeng that is writing? Who wrote this? Whose will is this? Whose mind is this? Now, watch this. The Holy Ghost is like this Pastor Mafeng. Then, the people that wrote the Bible are like this pen. Holy men, they spoke. The Holy Ghost used them as a channel to write his will, to write his mind. Are you getting my point? Holy men speak. The scriptures were first spoken as a word of prophecy. Isaiah spoke, he prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied. Moses prophesied. It was first spoken as a word of prophecy before it was now written for us today as the scriptures. That's why the Bible calls it prophecy of scriptures. Are you getting the point? Never trivialize this. Because many Christians that don't have value for the word of God, they look down on this. Do you know a lot of believers, they value a prophecy from a man of God than the prophecy of scriptures. Plenty Christians. If Bible say A, if a prophet say B, they will go with the B and ignore the A. That is ignorance gone on rampage. Are you getting my point? This is the yardstick, the prophecy of scripture, by which you judge every other prophecy. Accept the ones that line up with scripture and your spirit bear witness with, or is a confirmation of what God tells you. Am I communicating? Rise to your feet. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What are the five levels of prophetic operations? Let's do a summary. Number one, the gift of prophecy. Number two, spirit of prophecy. Number three, prophetic grace. Number four, the office of a prophet. Number five, the prophecy of scriptures. They are arranged in ascending order. So which one is the greatest? Followed by, in that order. Okay. It says, quench not the spirit. Next verse. Next, despise not prophesying. Can you see that? So when the spirit is manifesting, There will be prophecies. Am I communicating? People prophesy. So he said, don't despise them. Then, next, 21. Prove all things. Give me this in Amplified. Prove all things. In other words, you try it, you test it, you judge it. Those prophecies. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. How do you test those prophecies? Number one, based on what? The written word of God, which is a prophecy of scripture. Number two, your spirit, your reborn woman spirit. Does that prophecy, does it bear witness with your spirit that it is from God? Or is it a confirmation of what God have told you before? Your spirit must bear witness with it. Are you getting me? These are the two major ways that you test them. There are other tests too, but these are the two major. Now I want you to lift up your voice. This series is titled Understanding and Activating the Prophetic. Just lift up your voice in 1, 2, 3 minutes. Say, Father, I receive grace. I receive grace to understand and function in the prophetic. I receive grace. I receive grace. Paul said, covet spiritual gift. Covet earnestly the best gift. Magaboletiza branda kapaladia. Give me that 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. It says, follow after charity. It says, pursue love and then desire spiritual gift, especially that you may prophesy. Give me this in Amplified version. I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to begin to cry out to God. Mashata, Father, release upon me. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Activate the prophetic in my life. He said, eagerly pursue, seek, acquire love, make it your aim, your greatest quest, earnestly desire. Earnestly desire. Is your desire strong enough? Earnestly desire and cultivate spiritual endowments, gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Interpret the divine will and purposes of God in inspired preaching and teaching. La batizo boraka patai, like brando sefrigadia, having access to the mind of God, speaking forth the mind of God, the will of God. Mashata polate ragido sefrende sekida.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.